flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, lots to get to over the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good here, Andy Bunker, as we're two days closer to the weekend, and obviously the Super Bowl weekend, which I still is going to be a great game, who, like, for some reason hasn't seemed like a Super Bowl because the NBA is, like, really trying to flex their little-ass muscles. They feel like they got bigger muscles than the NFL.
They don't have NFL muscles.
But they're flexing their little muscles with, as far as the trade deadline. We know today the deadline is at 3 o'clock, still waiting to see if the Hawks are going to do a big move. Kind of, I mean, we knew the big player that was going to be moved. We just didn't know he was going to go to the team that he's going, talking about Jimmy Bucket.
Yeah. In fact, we kind of thought he wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, I mean, because he said he said he didn't want to go there.
Yeah, and not only did he say that, he said he wouldn't sign a contract there, and he did that too.
Yeah.
So, well played, I suppose.
Well played. I mean,
got exactly what he wanted and a little pay bump.
Yeah.
So, well done.
Very, very interesting.
It is interesting.
It's interesting. Jimmy and Draymond.
Yeah.
You know, because Jimmy is the ultimate alpha.
Yeah.
The ultimate alpha.
Yeah. Draymond, too.
And so is Draymond. And so.
Meanwhile, Steph's the best player on the team, and he's just like, you guys got it.
Y'all have that.
You guys go ahead.
Y'all go ahead and fuss.
Just when the game's on the line, just give it to me, okay?
Yeah, and we'll go. Because that's what Jimmy is. Jimmy's a closer.
Yeah.
And so that'll be a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be fun to watch. Whether it works or it doesn't, I mean, what does if it works mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Championship, is that what that means? They're not winning a
championship.
No, they're not doing that.
No.
You're going to need a lot more than that probably to supplement what all they've lost over the last handful of years. But, yeah, it'll be fun. Could be a soap opera. It is interesting now, too, when we start playing out these, like, trade scenarios of, like, where could this guy go? There's only a few big names left because, you know, obviously everybody's been traded so far this week. Kevin Durant hasn't. Neither has Bradley Beal. They're on the same team. So, good luck with that. But. And then you start thinking, well, he can't go there because he was teammates with him 4 years ago,
right,
and they hate each other.
Right, right.
It's such a weird era of the NBA where every big name player over the last 10 years has moved a bunch.
Yeah,
they've all been either free agency moves or they've been traded, and it's just like,
and most of the time the trade has been demanded outside of Luka.
The demanded trade to go play with another big name guy, and then that doesn't work out, and then you demand a trade to go play with another big name guy, or you're a free agent, and you go sign here, and it's like. There's never been more player movement in any league, really, than what you've seen in the NBA over the last decade. And I do wonder if, like, this is a blip on the radar and the new CBA with the aprons and all that kind of stuff will normalize things again and guys will be with teams longer if you're incentivized to be contract-wise, or if this is sort of just the new normal and it's just going to be like this. It feels like chaos.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's just like, wait a minute. Jimmy Butler's a Warrior now? Okay, right. He was with the Heat, and that was a good run. He also played with the Bulls. Remember that? That was fun when he was young and kind of an underdog.
Yeah.
There was a stint in Minnesota there in the middle. Then he was in Philadelphia also, and they chose Tobias Harris over him. This is like every player has their own 10-chapter story.
Right.
And it's like, I guess it's good. I don't know. I think it probably was better when guys were in one city for a really long time, and the city and the fan base really felt tied to him, and there was a bond
power,
and all that. But
player power move.
I know, man. It is. You know that. It is. I just don't. You know what I mean? Like, you're right about that. I just feel like there's downsides to that.
Oh, I understand. I mean, obviously, whenever you are a fan of a team and you find a player and a franchise player, whatever, you expect Because when we were growing up, that's usually what happened. You would stay with the team for a long time and everything, like put roots down. And now it's just not like that anymore.
No, it's not.
And players are looking for the best situation for them because they're judged differently nowadays, I think. I think that,
that could be part of it, yeah.
I think that this whole new – this new media whatever you want to call it, with championships and the player's not great because he doesn't have a championship. That's this new era we live in.
Right.
I think it's pathetic as hell to do that.
It's pathetic to do that, but I also think it's kind of pathetic to.
But that's how. These players, they grew up in it, so they start believing it.
I know it's such a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Like the ecosystem has created the ecosystem or something like that, and it feeds on itself, which sucks. I don't know. The other thing, too, is, like, say you do that, you know? Jimmy Butler doesn't have a championship, right? Say they do win one this year in Golden State. Then everyone's just going to hate on him the way they did Kevin Durant.
Yep.
They're like, he's a championship chaser. That's all he did. Ring chasing.
Right.
All right, but you told him to. You told him his legacy was invalid if he didn't have one.
And then he
went and got one, and he told him his legacy's not good enough anyway because he did get one, but he didn't get the one the way you wanted him to.
That's why you're like, ain't no campers here. I'll just give him that right there.
Yeah, you can do that. You can throw that up. I just think if there were more people doing that, that'd probably be good. You know, more middle fingers thrown up to the, you know, I don't actually care what you think.
Right.
I'm just going to do what I want, which is whatever. I guess maybe this is what they're doing. Maybe it is what they want.
Yeah.
The Hawks played last night. Played against a team that made one of these moves, and boy, that paid off early. Damn, De'Aaron Fox is good.
He's good, man.
I feel like people forget sometimes just because Sacramento's such an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
They had that great run a couple years ago, but it hasn't really been like that since then. Dude's incredible.
I always forget he's a lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always forget
gets anywhere he wants on the court. Yeah, he's a great passer. So active in the passing lanes. He can score from anywhere. 24 last night and 13.
Yeah.
And it was a great basketball game. Spurs ended up winning 126-125.
Yeah, he's a damn good player, man. And I thought the Hawks played hard last night. I was so confused by the original matchup with DeAndre Hunter on Wimby. I was like, is that on purpose? but it was that was a little weird. Everything. Trey was outstanding last night, obviously.
I think he was outstanding in the second half.
Yeah, but
he had a tough first half.
But I think the biggest thing with them is that they were down and they kept battling back because they're down 20 points. You're like, oh, hell, here we go again. But they battled back and everything. And, Wimby makes one, missed the second one on purpose.
What a sneaky little Frenchman.
Yeah, but Nobody saw that coming.
I
did not think that was a damn foul on Onyeka.
I thought it was clean also,
but yet he got the star call, goes up there, sinks the free throw, and then, like I said, missed the second one. They say 9 out of 10 losses? Damn. And yet, there's still people on the, talking about the Hawks, they're still, I think, still going to be busy today as far as trying to move some people. I don't think they're going to bring anything in significant that's going to boost his roster for right now. Obviously, get picks and clear salary and all that other crap that they like to do. But it seems like they're going to make a move, especially with this whole bogus situation. I heard Abe say that because I saw the rumor yesterday about Cleveland and DeAndre Hunter, and if that's still a possibility. I wouldn't do it, but that's just me. I think DeAndre Hunter's found his niche, found his role here. He's under a controllable contract, so I wouldn't move him. But
it would depend what you're getting.
Yeah,
like if you're getting what's being reported,
what's being reported?
Caris LeVert.
Who the hell is that? Oh, Caris LeVert.
And like Isaac Okoro.
Caris LeVert.
Yeah, I mean,
like he was good like 4 years ago.
Not really. He was all right.
He was all right. Like 4 years ago. Right?
He's like an okay sixth man in the right situation.
Yeah,
like DeAndre Hunter's a better sixth man than he is, which is what he is. I mean, unless you're getting some draft picks, like some real draft picks. I don't know what the point really of that is. But I do. I mean, I guess I would know what the point is. They're going to be doing. They'll probably do some accounting today.
You think so?
That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Because that's what it is. Like that's I mean, you know. It's not exciting.
Great.
It'd be cool if, you know, we were rooting for, you know, a basketball team.
Great.
And not an accounting firm. But they got to get under budget by, you know, deadline. So, all right.
Who's deadline?
Trade deadline. And then by the end of the season. So they have to pay, you know.
Okay.
They got to make sure the numbers look right.
So again, right.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not, you know.
It's not sexy.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
Not
they're
fun
not
to
fun.
Talk about.
And they're not fun. They just lost
a
nine.
Business.
They lost 9 of 10 damn games.
We're covering a business,
that's
basically.
Awful.
Yeah, it sucks. 9 of 10
games. It was good to see, you know, Wimby. I mean, because, I mean, we talked yesterday, is he an attraction? I mean, obviously, he's 7, whatever.
Yeah.
But do people go to games to see him?
I don't know. Maybe people that were in the building last night could tell us. What was the crowd like, you know, was it like a Laker-LeBron crowd?
Right.
Was it like, you know, like when D-Wade was with Miami, that kind of crowd? Or is it, yeah, I don't know. But he's certainly must-see TV for me. And it was fun last night to get them on TV because the game tipped off early, so everybody was still up. And I was like, hey, just watch the first little bit of this game and see if anyone stands out.
Right.
And they were all like, look, who's that? Who's that tall one?
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, look how weird that guy looks. Yeah, Isn't he weird?
Yeah.
Wait till they pass it to him and he dribbles. He can do that.
Yes.
He can, like, shoot all kinds of stuff.
I'm still trying to figure out the matchup because, I mean, I don't think that's something that he has to get more in his game. Okay, I got DeAndre Hunter. Why am I on the perimeter?
Yeah, go eat.
Why am I on the perimeter right now? Because
you
guy?
Could just turn around and shoot over that guy from 10 feet all night long.
Let me get down here and do some work on this guy and everything. So, yeah, that'll come with growth and everything like that. Like, he ain't going to get no bigger for the people who think that he needs to bulk up.
No, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, he's going to get bigger.
He can get smarter.
He can get smarter and all
maybe
those
tougher, stronger, whatever. But, yeah. I mean, he'll get stronger just as he gets in his early 20s and mid 20s and all that, but yeah, he's a perimeter player who will catch a lob every once in a while. Who happens to be 7'5".
Who don't jump for lobs.
But dude, he can shoot though. Yeah. Like he was 2 of 5 from 3 last night. But he had 24 points, 12 rebounds. He only had one block, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. I know he has a block in like 85 straight games or something like that. It's one of the long records in NBA history. But it's like, if you're that tall, give me a couple more blocks. You know what I mean? One block. You're 7'8".
Yeah, because that's on the perimeter. He's out there guarding people too.
Go in there and get a block.
Yeah, he's out there guarding people also.
And Yeka's arms are like this long.
Yeah.
Go in there and get a block.
Yeah.
But just put your arms up. You're going to block a couple of his shots.
But yeah, going back to the trade deadline, like, you know, there were certain names like Brandon Ingram was rumored to hear he's in Toronto. Which
what are they doing?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense because I can't see him resigning there.
I mean, I guess they're trying to do the Pascal Siakam of like, all right, we're going to take a gamble and make you like it.
Yeah.
You're going to come up here, right, and we're going to show off Toronto, and you're going to love it and whatever. I don't know.
I mean, Toronto's an awesome city.
Yeah. And maybe he does. Maybe, but I didn't see him go in there.
Yeah, I can't see him staying there.
Yeah, that's a weird
obviously,
thing.
You know, Alonzo Ball got you like he resigned. That was so weird that he resigned with Chicago. Gave him a 2-year extension and things.
What are they doing?
What are they going to do?
They just traded Zach LaVine and then signed Lonzo Ball to an extension.
Yeah. And then the Lakers.
All right.
Okay. We talked about the Nico and Rob, and Rob's like, you don't need all that stuff. And so he takes that first round pick and go get in the center of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this kid and from Charlotte, who was a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Biggest thing, he just don't play a lot.
Right.
You know, because he's hurt. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's healthy. He's a damn beast.
And in that trade, Cam Reddish fulfilled his destiny of becoming a Charlotte Hornet.
Yes.
He was born to be one, and now he is.
Damn, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Some guys are just destined to be Washington. Like, Jordan Poole was born to be a Washington Wizard. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Cam Reddish was born to be a Hornet.
Yeah. And now he gets to be one. You look at, I mean, the Lakers are, they all right now. You know, when you look at that point, because that's all they need a big, he's young.
Mm-hmm.
He's younger than Dalton Connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Dalton Connect's like 25.
Yeah, I know. That's what they say. He's like 2 years younger already. Then they move him on his rookie deal. I know they liked him, but you needed a center. And they went and got a young guy who's going to be there
Mark
for a
Williams
long time.
Is a
he's
monster.
He's a good player.
It's just a matter of developing him and turning him into like a real basketball player. But physically, dude's an absolute beast.
I didn't realize he was 7 footer, too.
Yeah.
7 footer.
Just, yeah, big. Like a brick house.
And, averaging 16 to 10?
Yeah. Wow. No, that was a nice trade. That's going to be one of those ones we look back on in 5 years. Like, damn, Lakers.
Yeah.
They did it again.
Yep.
They got Luka and then retooled around him, and they damn did it again, like they always do. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick the show off on a Trillville Thursday. First hour of the show is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadleyBuys.com. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
In the game.
Chris Paul to put it in play, and he does. He gets it outside now where it's taken by Fox. Fox fires it to Wembanyama. He goes up and missed, and they called a foul. Oh, no, they called a foul. The Hawks are going to challenge this, I think, with 2.4 to go.
Nothing to lose by challenging. You have a timeout.
Might as well challenge it.
You have nothing to lose here.
Yeah, no, they challenged it. They looked at it, and ultimately they confirmed it, called it a foul. I think Okongwu got the ball clean. Now, I guess if you were going to convince me that his offhand
was
a little physical, but that's not what they said. When they confirmed it, they said that he got the wrist with the blocking hand, which I didn't think was true.
No.
Again, to get up there like that on Wemby,
yeah,
who had like a full head of steam and tried a two-hand dunk on you to end the game, shout out to Onyeka Okongwu for getting in there and trying, because that was a hell of a play. But ultimately, they called the foul. I was thinking, because you have to use a timeout to challenge.
Right.
Had you not, you would have had the ball at half court to inbound it. Wouldn't have mattered anyway. Because
yeah.
Wemby clanged the second one on purpose off the rim to basically end the game. Now the Hawks did a good job on that too. Like, they were heads up. I don't remember who it was. Was it Krejci? Maybe whoever it was grabbed the rebound, got it to Trey in one motion.
They got a shot.
Trey got a pretty clean look for what you're going to get with 2.5 seconds left off a rebound on a free throw. Yeah, I don't. Heads up to Wemby.
Yeah,
I
mean, man.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
No, not one bit. I was looking at it from a standpoint of, okay, he's going to make both of them. The Hawks are going to do basically what they did. But, I mean, for him to miss
just. Because they kind of weren't ready.
I know somebody told him, though. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was just on his own.
I'm pretty sure Chris Paul was like, hey.
Could be.
Make sure you miss this on purpose.
The heady veteran.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they started CP3 and De'Aaron Fox together, which that's a nice little move for Fox to kind of be able to be off the ball sometimes.
Right.
But then he can go get it when he's got a good matchup. Like, I don't know, man. That team's going to be really good.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good.
That damn Castle.
18 months.
Castle is a monster.
Yeah, he's a freak of nature.
He is going to be a good player. They got him coming off the bench right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this dude.
He can D up.
He's a two-way.
Yeah.
But that was the thing when he came into the draft about the defense. They were like, this dude takes it personal on the defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, that young man is going to be all right. And this team is going to be all right.
They are.
They're going to be all right, man.
They're so young.
They're going to be so all right. They're going to be all right,
man. Yeah, I mean, Wemby's nowhere near what he's going to become, but – when he gets there, and obviously Fox is there now, I don't know what CP3's real lifespan is on that team, but it's nice to have him for sure. And then Steph Castle's just going to grow as a player. He's already really good and raw, but he's going to grow as a player. And then you add a couple shooters, and bang. it feels like they're pretty legit for the next decade. So, and Pop's not even on the sideline right now. Pop's still dealing with some health stuff. Mitch Johnson's over there holding down the ship. So, good for them.
They got another beast coming to town this weekend. As it looks like, Milwaukee's coming to town.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with Dame, and you're going to have to deal with Giannis.
And Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, damn. I forgot about the Kuz.
Don't forget about the Kuz.
The Kuz is in the house.
Yeah, he's actually killed the Hawks historically.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's just another challenge for this basketball team. The biggest thing you're looking out for the Hawks today is if there's another move made by them as far as for the trade deadline.
What would be something that they could do that you would come in tomorrow and be like, hell yeah.
Nothing?
You don't think anything?
No.
No? Dang.
No. Unless they went and got an impact player, which they're not going to do.
No.
There's nothing.
Like all the impact players that we kind of, they weren't even really the exciting ones. But the guys that we kind of thought, maybe, who knows, maybe there's a chance. Maybe you can get, maybe Brandon Ingram. I don't know. Maybe it's a salary dump. Maybe whatever it is. But maybe you can get Brandon. No, he's going to Toronto. All right, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you take a flyer on Lonzo. Lonzo's having a bounce back. Now the Bulls re-signed
him. Right.
I don't know. Maybe you can get Jonas Valanciunas. That's not a bad center option.
Where are you going?
Nah, he's headed to Sacramento.
Thank you.
Maybe you can. Dang. And then obviously there's the pie in the sky ones that were never going to happen. Like, make them tell you no.
Yeah.
For Jimmy Butler. Yeah. Yeah, well, Jimmy Butler quickly
gonna
said
say
no.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to say no. But no, there's not. I don't think there's going to be. Like you said.
Can I interest you in Isaac Okoro?
No.
Dang it.
Yeah.
But.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
probably what's going to happen.
I mean, you might as well.
From here. Isaac Okoro's from here.
Good for him. That's great. That's great. I'm sure he's a nice fella.
McEachern.
I'm sure he's a nice fella, but no.
Good defender.
You don't disrupt something because you want to just disrupt it. Like, Isaac Okoro, he's a good defender and all those different things, but there's no reason to trade DeAndre Hunter for that. Now, if you're telling me you're going to get a player, possibly a starter back for him, okay. But it makes no sense for me to go, if they go out there and they trade him for that.
Respectfully, I would say disrupt what? What are you disrupting?
Just the chemistry of the team. Just the chemistry of the guys. He's a core guy, DeAndre Hunter. He's a core guy. You can get whatever he is. He's a core guy for this team that they found a role for him that he excels in.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you take that off the roster right now?
Yeah, no, I understand.
Because I mean,
like the long term idea.
If you're telling me that's what you're getting back.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. You're going to get a guy that's better, which you're not, or you're just because if they do it for draft picks, they're telling you what it is.
Yes.
Which again, it's not going to excite anybody. Like at least there's like a logic behind
NBA
that a little
draft
bit.
Draft picks don't make me.
No, they don't.
They don't.
And why would they?
I'm sorry, they don't make me. You know,
they'll get you fired up.
Yeah, they don't.
No,
I'm sorry, they just don't. Pick swapping at first round in 2032. That don't get me excited.
Protected. Blah blah
you know
blah.
What I mean? Yeah, That don't get me excited.
No. No,
but it seems like that's the only excitement they get around when they talk about the Hawks. Oh, well, you know we got Sacramento's first in 2027. It's 2025.
Oh, sick. I can't wait.
It's 2025. What the hell I give about a damn draft pick in 2031?
What did they do last night? Oh, they lost, and that was their ninth loss out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh. But they got a draft pick coming up.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
NBA drafts don't get you.
Sweet.
Draft picks don't get nobody excited.
Well, because the other thing, too, is like, you know, DeAndre Hunter was the fourth overall pick.
Yes, he was.
So, like, trade him for a draft pick that probably won't even be the fourth overall pick.
No, you know what I mean?
But he was one, and so you had that, and it didn't really work great. So, you know what I mean?
Whatever, man.
It took 7 years for him to become a decent role player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, whatever, man. Draft picks and all that stuff to do. Well, my goodness, whatever. I get fired up by that damn NBA draft and people
to go young.
To talking about from – but no.
To reset
if you're
things.
Talking about a 2025 draft pick – fine. Mm-hmm. I won't be excited, but like,
right, but
okay.
At least it's like, all right, we're going to see that sooner.
You're talking about 28, 29, 30, 31 pick. Like, whatever. I'm like,
here's what I feel like I can guarantee is going to happen before, what is it, 3 o'clock today?
Yeah.
That's the deadline?
Yeah.
They'll find a way to clear about $5.5 million.
Okay.
Just a random number.
$5.5 million.
Yeah. Just happens to be the amount that they need to get underneath the luxury tax.
That's it? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just I bet if I had to bet, they'll find a way
right at five,
to clear
like right
around
five,
$5.5 million, maybe $6 million.
Wow.
Dollars.
Nobody
just a guess. Just a guess.
Because that's
based on what they do every single year.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the process of what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to get up under this, whatever you talk
what
about.
What was the process the of process. What they're trying to do
this
right now?
This is the process of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
All right. They're trying to win games while being cheap. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're trying...
I think
win games is a stretch.
Yeah, I know. I think
win games is a stretch. All right, let me rephrase that.
They're
trying to they're trying to be cheap, but they're trying
there
to put
go.
A
we got there.
A starting 5 to 8 players on the floor to give you a game.
Yeah, they're trying to be entertaining. And
yes, there we go.
That's what they're trying.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, that's like winning. Nah, never mind.
No.
No, they're trying to win.
Maybe someday.
I mean, they're trying to win.
Yeah, they would. That would be great.
That would be great, but they're just not winning right now.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's not the priority. The priority is to make money. Save money, and yeah, it would be a cool fringe benefit if we also won while doing so.
Yeah,
but
they don't do that.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's all good. All right. Let's hear from Alex Anthopoulos, who's also been saving a little bit of money this offseason, talking about Spencer Strider.
The plan is that he will throw in at least a spring training game. You know, I have a calendar in front of me. I just, you know, the issue is you put something like that out there.
Yeah.
Let's say he's sore in a bullpen or we want to give him an extra day. Then it becomes a story and so on. So the fact that we expect him to get into a game or two or three, whatever it might be, by the end of camp, by the time we break, you know, we're not going to shut him down and have him shut down. So, you know, from that point, you would think he would transition into some type of rehab assignment.
Okay, so that's kind of a more clear timeline on Spencer Strider. That's from the Steakhouse yesterday. Make an appearance in spring training, make a rehab assignment, where, how long, who knows. And then hopefully before the end of, I don't know what, May?
They'd have 30 days. If you put them on a rehab assignment, you got 30 days.
Okay.
So by the end of early May?
Early May.
Yeah. Then you have Strider back. That'd be good.
That'd be good. I mean, yeah. It's 4 days now, two pitchers and catchers report and all those different things. But, I mean, this team, the biggest thing is health with this team. All right, because when healthy, they're just as good. I know that it's not as glamorous as what the Dodgers have, but this team, they got dudes when they're healthy and when they play like they're supposed to be those dudes. And we've seen what it looks like when those dudes play like that.
Right. It's just hard because, you know, it's kind of like coming off of what last year was. Yes. And obviously that's very true, what you say about the health. But, there's, you know, you get fired up about the hot stove moves. There really weren't any.
Yeah, I saw Pete Alonso sign his day. I didn't realize. Why do I feel like Pete Alonso's been around forever?
I know.
Yeah, like 6 years.
Relatively young.
Yeah, 6 years.
I know.
Yeah, I was like, damn, he's been around forever in a day.
He sure thought he was going to get more than that.
Oh, Boris, I played it, didn't he?
2 year, what did I read? 54?
Yeah, but just the 1 year pretty much. This year is 30. Next year's player option.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Old Boris said, no, we're going to get $200 million for Pete Alonso from the Mets or somebody.
Not so fast. Not so fast.
Did he fire him because of this?
Is it his fault?
I don't know. He promised him.
That's true. That's true. You told me I was going to get $200 million. Well, no one wanted to give it to you, man. I don't know. What can I tell you? They don't think you're as good as you think you are. Hey, we'll come back. We'll get into a couple of different things that are going on at the Super Bowl, including like exhibit A of a guy who's a dork, just continuing to be a dork. Dorks being dorks next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into all the news and notes from around the league and really start diving into the game. Like the football game is going to be played on Sunday evening between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Super Bowl, what is it, 59? Is it Super Bowl 59?
Yeah, buddy.
Wow, that's a lot of Super Bowls. So we'll get to that in about 20 minutes from right now. We'll get back into some of the stuff that's also going on in New Orleans as well, including, you know, our quarterback being interviewed by one of our favorite guys. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at padlybuys.com.
And D-Led's down there being TMZ.
Yeah, D-Led's down there. You know what? D-Led's down there just trying to report the news, as he always does.
Oh, man.
He's stalking Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, man, that's pretty funny.
Taking pictures of him from afar.
Yeah. There he is, y'all.
He needs one of those zoom lenses. He's doing it on his phone, trying to zoom in with his fingertips.
He is.
He found him a couple times, though. Yeah. Tried to interview him. I guess Kirk's done talking.
Yeah, might as well be.
I guess Kirk's done the talking that he's going to do.
And we're done, too.
Isn't it funny that the thing that, we made fun of Kirk for all year, like being too honest, like he's now kind of mad at him because he lied? You know?
There's a big difference between the honest part that we were talking about and the part he lied about.
I know, it's just kind of ironic that, like, the guy who the whole joke all year was he just can't shut his mouth and keep a secret.
Yeah.
And it turns out maybe he did just shut his mouth and keep a secret and screwed over the whole team.
Yeah, I'm glad.
The irony is not lost on me.
You know something? It never is, though.
No, it's not.
It never is. But, well, I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest the guy who we brought to play. I'm not the biggest. And this has been a long time. I've never liked this guy.
Yeah, no. Respect to the niche that he's found himself in the NFL world. But,
never liked him.
Mike Florio is not exactly like the number one guy between us on this show. We're not huge fans of his.
No.
So we play this with that in mind because he sounds like a dork, and he is one. Here he is interviewing Michael Penix at the Super Bowl yesterday.
Let's fast forward just a couple of months. The draft is here. It's round one. The Falcons are on the clock. Is any part of you going to think, I wonder if they're going to take a quarterback here like they did last year?
Oh, man, I don't think so.
Seriously.
What would you tell that? We call him Dr. Doom sometimes.
Envision them giving up on you after three games? There, look at him.
A joke. Comedy is hard, number one. Number two, the delivery was clunky. The point is, it's just odd to think you're sitting there watching the draft and boom. Let me ask you this. what would be at the top of your wish list for things to add to help you get better?
No comment. I just whoever can help this team win football games. You know, that's who
a
we
quarterback
want.
Then.
Obviously,
I'm kidding.
You know, it's people that do that job. You know, in the organization and that make those big time picks for our future. And you know, this team we're gonna trust those picks.
He's a rookie. He just became a starter. He's not gonna talk about like, oh, I want this position because he's got friends of that position, and they're gonna be like, hey, dude, I thought we just became friends. You're trying to draft somebody and replace me already. So he doesn't want to do that.
I want the best player in the draft whenever we get that pickup.
An absolute great freaking answer.
Well done, Mike.
And who is the guy? Not the Florio Dork, but the other guy.
Chris Sims.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that joke.
Yeah, it's just a great duo.
But he was right. he was right what he said. And the reason I say this, because organizations, they cringe when their players are on Radio Row because they're going to say something like Josh Jacobs said. We need a true number one receiver here.
Right. Like any real answer from an active player about his own team is not helpful for the own team.
They cringe.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't get in trouble. But I was like, I didn't say anything wrong, but he didn't want me to say what I said.
You said something that Saban didn't want you to say
All I said was, yeah, I just met my new tight end coach before I came up here, Derek Dooley. And he's nice. I can't wait to work with him. That's all I said.
But he just hadn't been announced yet?
Yeah, it hadn't been announced yet. And so Nick was like, yeah, I was like, oh, my bad. Damn, I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Yeah, sorry. Announce it.
Announce the damn thing.
What, do you think we just gave away the nuclear codes because Derek Dooley? Yeah, exactly. No offense to Derek Dooley, but he's our tight end coach.
So they cringe. And then you got, like, you don't – when you're an active player and there are other guys that, on the team, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. We need a true number one receiver. Like – you know what I mean? Just chill.
You know what you don't do as a media guy? And I learned this one the hard way. You don't assume that people you don't know are going to get your jokes.
Right.
Because I guess it was one. Penix didn't get
it. No joke.
And then it was just awkward.
Yeah, awkward.
I hope the interview got better from there because that was a tough 70 seconds.
Yeah, just a great answer by him. No comment. It doesn't make no sense for you, sir. Well, you know what I would like? I think we should upgrade the offensive line. Or better yet. We need a pass rusher. I think, you know, in the draft, we need a pass rusher. Even though that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and he
knows. There's no reason to say it.
And he knows it's true. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to say that because always there's going to be an Andy Bunker or somebody else that's going to be up there flyer. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Or Mark Zeno or Joe Patrick or somebody like that that's going to take that.
Esteemed media members you're listing here.
And then you're going to go up there and say, well, at the Super Bowl, Mike.
Yeah, right.
You said you were looking for a pass rusher. And the safety friends, they don't draft a pass rusher right there. You know
what I mean? Are you mad?
Now this dude, Florio guy, now the Falcons take a quarterback like in the seventh round or take a swing.
Yeah.
He'll make a story out of that.
See? Called it.
Yep. He'll make a story out of that.
As I predicted in February.
Yeah, he'll make a story about
that. But they're going to need one. Right? Falcons are going to need a backup quarterback because the guy who's been the starter was the starter at the beginning of the year last year isn't going to be here next year.
Correct.
We know that.
Yeah.
Clock's just ticking on that one.
Yeah.
Penix is going to be the starter, and they're going to have to find someone to be the backup. Yeah. I don't know.
Go get your veteran.
Yeah, they'll go find
him. Go find your veteran.
Yeah, go find some sort of veteran quarterback to back up Penix. Nice to have an older guy that's
He can bounce stuff off.
But
no, I anticipate them going to sign it back. You don't want to have a young quarterback backed up by another young damn quarterback. I think the thing with Mike is, you know, he's going in unquestioned, rightfully so. He's going to get everything from the first day of OTAs, mini camp, training camp. He's going to get between whenever they start, you know, the quarterback, so the offseason conditioning, whenever they start that, he's going to be the guy. He's going to get all the reps. He's going to have thousands of reps before the first start of whoever they play going up this fall. And he can only grow from that.
Not only that, like, yes, all of that is true. There's whatever they do behind him is also not going to be any sort of threat to his job whatsoever.
No.
Whereas last year, when they did what they did, even though I think we all kind of thought the plan was for Cousins to be the quarterback for a couple of years, they drafted a quarterback in the top 10 right behind him.
Right.
So, and again, like, don't hear this as me trying to justify anything that Kirk Cousins did if what it seems like he did is what actually happened. Again, maybe we'll get all the truth at some point, probably not, because you don't tend to get all the truth in situations like this. But when they drafted Penix and didn't tell him they were going to do it until they were doing it, I think that set off that relationship
yes.
on a foot of distrust.
Yes.
Like, and again, not to say that that means that he should then not tell them about his injury mm-hmm. in the middle of the season.
Right.
But like, who planted the seed of distrust between the Falcons and Kirk Cousins?
The organization.
Falcons did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Falcons did.
Yeah.
On draft night.
Right.
When they took Michael Penix and didn't tell him about it until the end. Now, grow up, get over it, play better, whatever. Yeah. Don't lie if you're hurt and you know, suck it up. Honestly, here's another alternate timeline that would have benefited Kirk had he done it the way that I think a lot of people would have. If he's just honest about how bad that hit was against New Orleans and they can't play him the next week because it hurts so bad, whatever, they x-ray him, whatever it is, and they're like, oh man, there's like a minor thing in there. We got to sit you down. And Penix comes in and plays good, and he doesn't play anymore. He's probably has a better market this offseason than he does right now.
I would
because he would have been 6-4,
yep.
and he only would have played one bad game, and it really was only one bad game in the game that he got hurt in. Like, if he would have just done what most people do, which or if they would have gotten it right, or whatever. Like, if the lines of communication would have been there the way that you would have wanted them to be between the quarterback and the organization,
right?
He probably they might even be able to trade him.
No.
You might.
Mm-mm.
He's 6-4 and he played Mm-mm. the way he did, nobody, and nobody saw the crap that he did at the end of the season.
Nobody's trading for that contract.
That's okay.
Nobody's trading
fair
for
enough.
His contract.
Fair enough. And yeah. that's probably yes. the be all end all yeah. in the conversation.
Yeah.
But
it is.
He would have more teams interested in him than he does now.
And he still might. That's the thing about it.
Had he not played those games.
But the thing about it is,
like, he would have actually benefited from not playing in those games.
This is a quarterback-driven league, and there's not enough good ones. Now, I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be when he comes back from his injury or whatever, but I know somebody's out there, and somebody's going to give him a shot. And if you look at where the perfect scenario for him is Cleveland because of Stefanski, the system that he played in, and all those different things. Now, we thought that system was going to be here, but they didn't do it. They didn't play to the strengths of what he did. So they're part to blame for some of it also. Yeah, he's hurt, but yet y'all didn't do what he does best. And so, I mean, it's all a big old cluster, you know what,
yeah.
that is pretty much by the end of this month, early next month, is going to be over. I mean, the dead stuff, the bad stuff is still going to be there, but he just won't be here. Because no matter what's going to happen as far, no, when they cut him, the cap hit and all that, that's still going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, him doing what he did don't affect nothing going forward as far as contracts, the money,
right.
the dead cap. You can't write a petition to Roger. Well, we feel like he lied to us, so can we only have to pay a certain amount?
Right.
Don't work like that.
All that's right. Like, the guy that did the thing that most people are mad about is going to be gone.
Yes.
Right? So yes. The main source of the frustration in this conversation is gone, and you have a guy that's going to replace him that you like. The money is still going to be a problem for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be dead cap. But the problem is that, like, you know, if you go back again, like we were saying, from the beginning of it all the way through to now, and just sort of like how it's being handled, it's like, all right, so Kirk's gone, but like, it's, you know, it's still took two to tango.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the people that allowed that to take place are still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, I can't just like pack up all the blame and problems and issues and everything that went wrong into a package, give it to Kirk, tell him he's out of town, and then we're like, everything's great.
That's
now.
What they're trying
can't
to do.
Of course.
That's what they're
of course.
To do.
And that's I understand.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be trying
yeah,
to do.
They're trying to do.
But like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I still gotta be like, all right, so now who are the people that notice injuries? Like, who are the people whose job it is to analyze quarterback play?
Yep.
Because that guy very clearly looked like trash. And it turned out he was hurt, and that's why he looked like trash. And those eyes are still up.
Or he could have just been trash.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he was.
Or maybe,
maybe
yeah,
he was, and he's just trying to save
yeah,
face.
Yeah, or maybe he was just trash, and he's trying to figure out a way to make people feel like he wasn't trash.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to save face.
Maybe just trash.
Could be.
It could be. It's everything's always a possibility. I've never seen that fall off like that. But hey, no. It's the first time. I never seen a 25-year-old damn superstar player, basketball player get dealt before.
Yeah.
And then asked for it.
That's the thing about
yeah.
right. That's a great sort of tie-in.
Everything is new nowadays.
No, but here's the thing. Everything is human, right? Like we're in this era of everything being so data driven and analytics driven, and the attempt to perfect, right? Either from a spreadsheet or from a play calling standpoint or whatever. But at the end of the day, everything is just decided on by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings, I'll say it nicely, like make mistakes.
They do.
Right?
They do.
Some of them are really dumb.
And some of them
are
really bad.
Some of them have jobs that they're not good at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we keep being surprised by this stuff. It's like, nah.
Stop being surprised.
People do dumb stuff all the time.
Yeah. Stop being surprised.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah.
You just got to hope the humans that are in the jobs for the teams that we root for are good at those jobs.
Yeah. But, I mean, we got so much time to talk ball. You still got combine. You still got drafts. You still got workouts. You got off-season condition, all that other stuff, man. But, I mean, just the fact that Michael is mature enough not to go down a rabbit hole with a dork. It's just like, perfect. It was just a perfect answer by
him. You got nothing to worry about as far as Michael Penix and that kind of stuff. Like, is he going to be a great quarterback? I don't know. I hope so.
Right.
I hope so. But there's not going to be any, like, he's not going to say anything in an interview that he's not supposed to say.
Did he have the do-rag on?
Probably.
Oh, okay, I'm just curious.
Bijan told a story earlier in the week about how he wore his do-rag in the sauna.
What's so big deal about that?
I don't know.
Because
you take everything else off in the sauna, pretty much. Towel.
Have you ever been in the NFL sauna?
Yeah, bunch.
We don't be in there butt naked.
No, but like your towel, right?
Oh, I was like, yeah, we don't be in there. We don't be in there butt naked. Like, we don't be in hot tubs and cold tubs and saunas and steam rooms naked. Well, that was one instance that we kicked like dog. Go put some grays on. All right? Very rarely do you just see.
I know, but like a towel, right? What do you got on?
A lot of times you have shorts on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it's.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times you have shorts on.
Oh, I thought it was a funny anecdote.
Yeah, a lot of times you have shorts on.
So he probably had the do-rag on.
I've only seen him without it three times.
Heisman ceremony. Heisman,
draft.
Okay.
And then the picture he took when he proposed to his girl.
Okay.
That's the only three times I've ever seen him.
Yeah, my guess is he probably had the do-rag on in the interview with Mike Florio.
But my thing is the do-rag is just out in public. Like, you don't wear a hat over it, like the old 50, who is, by the way, the most diabolical. Just, I don't know what to call that dude no more, man. 50 on a different level. Don't ever cross him.
What did he do?
We'll talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah, don't ever cross that guy. Don't ever cross that dude. That dude is just, I feel bad for people who are enemies.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I really said do-rag because they just had Michael Parsons on TV. He had a pink-ass do-rag on. So I was just like, oh, okay. You just wear do-rags now.
I mean.
All right.
Why not?
You got to keep the waves tight.
You got to. Yeah. You got to keep them wavy. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. Get back into everything that's going on in New Orleans. Look forward to the Super Bowl. Start talking about the game. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.